You guys have received me so graciously, your legendary hospitality and welcoming. So I'm very encouraged this evening. I didn't tell anyone what I was preaching on, but God has been lining it up, and I've been greatly encouraged myself for this evening. Right. As Beatrice said, my wife and son are there in the mother's room. We are elders in Cape Town and we live in Milnerton. So, I see you guys. We're almost neighbors. But so the picture that we have on the screen there is storehouses, and so we're going to be speaking about that tonight. And I guess where it came from was a personal revelation that the Lord gave me, which led me to scripture, which is relevant to everyone. Right, my testimony is not necessarily your testimony. My life doesn't go like your life. Per se, but what God brought me to was a portion of scripture which is eternal and is for all of us at all times. So before I carry on, I'm just going to pray for us. Father, I thank you that that this evening you desire to show everyone the Father's care, and I thank you that there is liberty in this house tonight as we release from worries and a tendency to want to take care of ourselves that keeps us in all sorts of anxieties and bondages, Father. And I pray that you'd give every heart tonight a fresh revelation of your care and that we may accordingly walk in greater freedom and greater faith. In Jesus' name. Amen. So how tonight's going to go, I'm centered around a particular passage of scripture in Luke 12, and we'll go out from there and look at a couple of things. But where the story started, I'll just share a little bit of the testimony. Is my wife was a teacher up here in Sunningdale. She had enough of teaching at one point, as happens to teachers often. But we took a faith step for her to stop working. So this is going to make sense now. So this picture at the back here is of a storehouse. This is a sermon about provision, about money, our relationship with money, our relationship with our resources. Okay, so it's going to become clear now. That's why I'm telling a story about us taking the risky move for my wife to stop working and just without the hopes of another job lined up. And it was a faith step that God led us to trust Him in this. And, you know, when it started out, I actually had a bit of savings. So God, in His grace, takes you in steps of faith. He doesn't push you into the deep end because He's kind. But I thought I was taking a massive step of faith. But actually, I had like a bit of savings as well. So I was like, okay, Lord, we'll be okay at least for 2 months, I'm sure. So, cool. We trust you, Lord. Maybe in 2 months there's a job. Then 4 months, 6 months, 1 year, 2 years, not a job, but in between, God has led us to other amazing things. But so where this came, so I've preached this message about a year ago in our own congregation, and where that came from was it had been about a year where we'd stopped, my wife had stopped working, and the savings had very much run out, and I was paying the bills as one does on the computer or whatever it is, and leaving work that day, I just had such a heaviness. I thought I was walking in faith before, but really I was relying on my storehouse. I had a storehouse that I could rely on. But this was getting quite empty, the storehouse, by now, after fixing a gearbox and all the rest, all the things that happened. And I left with a heaviness. Oh Lord, what is happening? My storehouse is empty. I'm starting to stress. What is the horizon? And it was funny. This might sound like an odd story, but I was pulling up to the robot and a crow just landed in front of me and started picking up a chip, scavenging one of these pied crows that we have, and flew on. And the Lord just spoke to me in that moment and He reminded me of a specific song. It's an old hymn called He Who Feeds the Ravens. But I mean, the clincher line is He who feeds the ravens will give His children bread. Like, no day will bring anything that He can't take us through. And it got me onto this passage of scripture in Luke 12 as well. And so I'm going to read it for us tonight, and we're going to see two things that the Lord showed me, and that is quite plain in scripture, about storehouses. two relationships that you can have with your storehouse. So when I say storehouse, I'm talking about your money, your assets, your resources, whatever it is. Yeah, it's the stuff that we use. But we can relate to that in two different ways. Sometimes when we've got a lot, that's our confidence. Sometimes when we've got a little, that's our anxiety. Okay, but God brings freedom from either of those traps. And that's what He's going to show us this evening. So, without further ado, I'm going to read for us from Luke chapter 12. The scriptures will be on the screen. You're welcome to read along. It's from the ESV, or else you can just listen. So it says, "Someone in the crowd said to Him," that's Jesus, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me." But Jesus said to him, "Man, who made me a judge or arbitrator over you?" And He said to them, His disciples and the people, "Take care and be on your guard against all covetousness, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions." And He told them a parable, saying, "The land of a rich man produced plentifully, and he thought to himself, 'What shall I do? For I have nowhere to store my crops.' And he said, 'I will do this. I will tear down my barns and build larger ones, and there I will store all my grain and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, you have ample goods laid up for many years. Relax, eat, drink, be merry.' But God said to him, 'Fool, this night your soul is required of you. And the things that you've prepared, whose will they be? So is the one who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God.' And he said to his disciples, 'Therefore I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat, nor about your body, what you will put on. For life is more than food, and the body more than clothing. Consider the ravens. They neither sow nor reap. They have neither storehouse nor barn, and yet God feeds them. Of how much more value are you than the birds? And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to his span of life? If then you are not able to do as small a thing as that, why are you anxious about the rest? Consider the lilies, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin, and yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not dressed or arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass, which is alive in the field today and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, how much more will He clothe you, O you of little faith? And do not seek what you are to eat and what you are to drink, nor be worried. For all the nations of the world seek after these things, and your Father knows that you need them. Instead, seek His kingdom, and these things will be added to you. Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Sell your possessions and give to the needy. Provide yourselves with money bags that do not grow old, with a treasure in the heavens that does not fail, where no thief approaches and no moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." So there are two phases to this portion of Scripture. The first is this man saying to Jesus, "Lord, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me." Now we can reasonably assume that the inheritance presented more money. These guys were probably doing okay resource-wise, but now there was an inheritance at stake. And this is not the first and the last time that there are two brothers fighting about an inheritance. I think all of us know stories like that, where families get cut in half because of an inheritance, a desire for your share of something more than you already have. Your sense of a right to something that actually wasn't yours up until now. Now it's available to you and you want it. And he's fighting with his brother and he wants Jesus, who is actually Lord over all the earth, the judge of all hearts, the judge over all things. But Jesus says, "Who made me the decider of the squabble?" Jesus, in a way, indicates a lack of interest in sorting out this little family fight and would hopefully have expected these guys probably to sort it out themselves in a loving way. And Jesus, straight from there, says to them, he uses this as a teaching moment, and he says, "Take care and be on your guard." Jesus can see something in this man's heart, which is in all of our hearts, and he uses it to say, "Take care and be on your guard," which means it's something that you can easily fall into. It's a trap you can easily fall into, covetousness, which I'll explain now. and be on your guard. He's actually saying you have to be on the front foot against covetousness. Okay? Covetousness, there's a little definition in here. It says, on your guard against all covetousness, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions. Covetousness is the same as envy. It's a desire for more. It's a desire for what other people have. The writer of Ecclesiastes actually goes so far as to say this. After he's looked at the whole world and how all things work, he says, and this I saw. All of man's ambition comes from his envy of his neighbor. But ambition's great, right? It's celebrated. Now, I'm not talking about the opposite end of the spectrum and being lazy and all the rest. But so much of our desire for whatever it is that we're desiring is because we saw someone else have it. Whether it's more money or more recognition or more influence or more whatever it is, you see it in someone else's life and that becomes a thing that you chase after. Covetousness says, just a little more and I'll be happy. I will be happy. I will have life if I have more possessions or more of whatever it is that I'm pursuing. 1 Timothy 6, verse 6 to 10 talks about covetousness like this. It says, but godliness with contentment is great gain, for we brought nothing into the world, and we cannot take anything out of the world. But if we have food and clothing, with these we will be content. But those who desire to be rich fall into temptation, into a snare, into many senseless and harmful desires that plunge people into ruin and destruction. For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evils. It is through this craving that some have wandered away from the faith and pierced themselves with many pangs or hurts. So Paul himself here in writing to Timothy is also not beating about the bush about the nature of covetousness. This thing that Jesus says, take care, be on your guard. Paul is saying, why? Because if this thing runs freely, you get plunged into senseless, harmful desires that put you into ruin and destruction. James says, and I want us to remember there what he says, that if we have food and clothing, with these we will be content. We'll come back to that just now. James puts it like this in James 4, verse 1 to 2. What causes quarrels and what causes fights among you? Is it not this, that your passions are at war within you? You desire and you do not have, so you murder. You covet and you cannot obtain, so you fight and quarrel. You do not have because you do not ask. There's a picture there of those brothers that are fighting. What is the basis of this fight for which they're wanting Jesus to arbitrate? It's a desire for more. They just want some more. And the last little scripture that I'll share on that is Hebrews 13 verse 5 says, keep your life free from the love of money and be content with what you have. For he has said, I will never leave you and nor forsake you. So Jesus is saying, take care of this thing. It's almost the water we swim in, right? I mean, the basis of most of marketing and social media, whatever it is designed to exploit this vice in us, to show us the something else that someone has which is better than what you have. And that creates in you a craving for what they have. And I'm just going to say up front, this is not a finance talk, all right? There are many biblical ways of discussing finance, so don't hear the stuff I'm not saying tonight. I'm focusing mostly on the two points that Jesus makes about our heart's attachment to the quantity. And the reality is the desire to be rich is not... let me put it this way. Every one of us here in this room, there's someone richer than us and there's someone poorer than us. Okay, so it's not a sliding scale. And those on the bottom are justified for being poor. All of us can fall into this trap. Whether you have a lot of money or you have a little bit of money, if you're middle class, if you're upper in the middle class or in the middle of the middle class or slightly lower, it's very easy to look at the people above you and resent what they have and what you don't have and to want what they have and what you don't have. But how much life does that suck out of our hearts? And for Christians, for Jesus is saying, for my children, be assured of the Father's care. Be on your guard against this kind of thing because it's going to sap the life of the kingdom out of you. And Jesus speaks of great freedom for us in these passages. And he talks about a rich man who produces plentifully. He has barns, he is already rich, but somehow he gets more. And instead of sharing, he says, how can I save this up for myself? And it actually brings him to this place where he says, he builds bigger barns and he puts it all up. And by his accounting, he says, I've actually got enough now. I can relax, take it easy. I've got a storehouse that will take care of me. And when I was reading this, it reminded me of other stuff that I've read. This is a lot like financial freedom, right? When we hear people talk about financial freedom, a lot of the time it's passive income that's big enough that you can work for fun type of idea, which would be great. I mean, I think any of us would like that. But it's uncannily a lot like what this guy did. I've got enough. I'm financially free. But the freedom, this is a parable about freedom. And it's a parable about financial freedom, okay? But from God's perspective, not from the world's perspective. Because God says to him, tonight your soul is required of you, and all the stuff that you've saved up, who will it go to? Right? So the man built himself up a nice big storehouse. And this was his confidence. This was the basis upon which he said, I'm sorted. God said, that night, it's gone. And the reality is these things can. This is how things go, isn't it? I mean, there are enough documentaries out there, whether it's the Steinhoff guys or the whoever else, but money is not sure. Okay, however sure we might be tempted to believe that it is, it's actually a false confidence. A confidence in your big storehouse is a false confidence. That's why Jesus says, take care. Psalm 62 verse 10 says, if riches increase, do not set your heart on them. Do not set your heart on them. And so much of the time our trouble comes when our sense of well-being is attached to the status of our storehouse. When the storehouse is big, we have a sense of well-being. Things are okay. And for the believer, God gives us abundant life that's independent of that. It was touched on earlier, but the kingdom is righteousness, joy, and peace in the Holy Spirit. But often, our righteousness, or at least our joy and our peace, is linked to our storehouse. That's what it was for me. I'm being honest here about myself, lest you think I'm drilling anyone here with the greater truth. It is the truth, and it's preaching to me as much as it is. I mean, a little story. When I first preached this, I was on the high of this revelation. I was like on the top of the wave. This is it. I can surf this wave. Then a year later, I'm preaching it now. I'm kind of like, you know, that word from the offering message, if you took a snapshot of Abraham's life, God gives you these things. He gives you these revelations. He gets you to step out in faith, but then you actually have to walk by faith very far. Often. And if you take that snapshot, you think, oh man, did I hear wrong? Did I make the wrong choice? So, I'll be honest with you guys. When I'm preaching it now, I'm not riding the high of that revelation where I thought I was like unbreakable, you know. I have been worrying about these things. And this is life. That's why Jesus says, be on your guard, because this will come at you daily. Then, Jesus, after explaining this parable, pivots to another, well, he's not in a parable anymore, and he starts to ask the disciples to look at stuff that's plain to see in front of them. Like that crow that dropped in front of my car at the robot. Jesus asks us to look at some very plain and simple things as communication of God's heart towards us. Do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat, nor about your body, what you will put on. For life is more than food, and the body more than clothing. And yeah, we remember in Timothy, he said, but if we have food and clothing, with these we will be content. Jesus here again talks about food and clothing. And I don't think it's metaphorical for something else. It's almost like a nice benchmark for contentment. Like if you had a valid reason to not be content, it would be if you didn't have food and clothing. But if you've got those things, actually you can be content. But God in his goodness, I mean, if you need to drive to work, God knows you need a car. So God is not a rice and rags type of utilitarian, austere, harsh God. He can provide for you everything you need, but it's a helpful benchmark. And that's what I realized. I mean, when I was stressing about my storehouse, you know, those years back, I realized, actually, if I'm really honest, there's actually another little storehouse over there, and there's another little one that I've actually also got there, but it's just never enough, eh? The more you get, the more you want. It's just, you never reach that point of satisfaction with what you've got. But as for contentment, as for food and clothing, I've got more than enough. So why am I allowing peace and joy and faith to dry up in my heart when God is saying, you're actually okay? And the other stuff, I'll take care of you. I'll put petrol in your tank. I'll do all the rest. Consider the ravens. They neither sow nor reap. They don't have a storehouse or a barn. Daily, God feeds them. If you think of the Lord's Prayer, give us this day our daily bread. Again, I don't think it's metaphorical. I think there's a big practical aspect to that where God says, you don't even know what's going to happen tomorrow. You don't even know what's going to happen next week. You have no idea. Why do you worry about it? Daily bread. And this is what the ravens do. And he talks about the flowers. But first, what I want to read from us, I love how the Message speaks about the ravens. And he says, Jesus saying to them, he continued on the subject with his disciples, don't fuss about what's on the table at mealtimes or if the clothes in your closet are in fashion. There is far more to your inner life than the food you put in your stomach, more to your outer appearance than the clothes you hang on your body. Look at the ravens, free and unfettered, not tied down to a job description, carefree in the care of God. I love that, carefree in the care of God. He really does have for us a type of carefreeness. Scripture says that all the time, cast your cares, and we take them back and we hold on to them and we analyze them. But there is actually a carefreeness for us in the kingdom. And he reminds us to look at the birds for that. And he reminds us to look at the flowers. We're all here on the West Coast. It's not long now, and all the wildflowers will start to blossom, and people will be flocking just to see those flowers. And there's some in the behind the mountain there that people won't even see, and that flower will maybe last a day or two. But the beauty of that thing brings people to go and look at it. And God says, I mean, if that flower lasts for 2 days and I give it that kind of splendor, am I going to leave you in rags? No. Please be assured of my heart and my care and my tenderness towards you. He says, of how much more value are you than the birds? And I think here is really where sometimes the issue lies for us, is a revelation of how much God actually values us. You know, very often we live like we must take care of ourselves. And we do adulting, and that's real, and it's different to being a kid and all the rest. And yes, there's responsible growing up and all of that stuff. Again, I'm not delving into those things tonight. What's valid and what's not. Jesus himself is not allowing or disallowing certain financial things here, but he's talking about our attachment to our storehouse. So as much as that the rich man attached his well-being to his massive storehouse, and that was a false confidence, we too, when we attach our well-being to our storehouse, and if it's a dwindling storehouse or a small storehouse, that can be our anxiety. And yeah, I mean, maybe it comes from, sometimes we've heard people, you know, preachers, people like me up on a stage, possibly in my life before, you say, you know, God's done everything for you and now you owe him. Like, you owe him your life. And in one sense, yes, but sometimes we live like that. Like, Lord, I'm just so grateful that you saved me. And we feel shy to ask him for provision. That is not the heart of God at all. Let me just say that now. That is not his heart at all. That we should somehow, we know we're indebted to him, but it's a debt we could never repay. So why we sometimes live as orphans in our own father's house, afraid to ask him? As James said, you do not have because you do not ask. You know, who of us, after having carried our child when they couldn't walk, paid their school fees, paid for all their food, now turns around and says, okay, now you owe me. You really owe me something now. And turns it around to start to extract. And now that's the limit. Stop asking me for anything. None of us would do that. Jesus, when he's talking to the crowd, says, who of you, when your son asks for a fish, will give him a scorpion, or asks for an egg, will give him a snake? He says, no, you wouldn't do that. How much more will my heavenly Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? Or in the other gospel, good things to those who ask him. Romans 8 puts it like this. He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also with him graciously give us all things? God has a massive storehouse, and he's ready to supply your every need. And this is, which of you being by being anxious can add a single hour to his life? If you're not able to do that, why are you anxious about the rest? So if a big storehouse and a confidence in that is a false confidence, sometimes a small storehouse and an anxiety about that is a false provision as well. Somehow we think that by worrying about it and by stressing about it, it's going to grow. Jesus says that's not how it works. You can't do that. You can't even add 1 hour to your life by being anxious. And he's calling us to see something about how God really holds us in his hand. But again, we often live like we must take care of ourselves. But if God so clothes the grass, which is alive in the field today and tomorrow is thrown in the fire, how much more will he clothe you, O you of little faith? And faith is really the essence of it. A belief in God's goodness towards us, a trust, a willingness to trust him. Faith is where it all starts and ends for us. As for what to eat and drink, don't be worried. The nations run after these things because they are orphans. But your father knows that you need them. He knows that you need these things. Instead, seek his kingdom and these things will be added to you. And we all know that scripture and we love that scripture. And it's a great scripture. And we think seek his kingdom, go on missions or whatever. And that's awesome. As if it's something that we must go and get. But the next line he says, it's my father's good pleasure to give it to you. Seek it. He wants to give it to you. He will give it to you. Sell your possessions and give to the needy. Provide yourselves with money bags that do not grow old. So I think in closing, I'm going to start wrapping it up, but I think there are really three questions for us to help us to respond to God's word. And I think the first of it is recognizing, do you have a big storehouse that's actually your confidence? Or do you have a little to none storehouse that's got you sleepless at night, worrying? Both of these indicate a wrong attachment to what we have or don't have. God wants us to break that attachment. That's really the point of these proverbs and the parables and what Jesus is saying. The second question is, do we find ourselves walking by faith more and more, or less and less? Because again, if we have more and more material provision, often we become more and more self-sufficient and walk by faith less and less. Or if our resources are running out, we walk by faith less and less because we walk in anxiety more and more. And I think I thought about this, if maybe more on the self-sufficient side, like if you had to really trust God to give you groceries that day, you had nothing in the house and you had to trust him for groceries that day, trust him for this, there. Trust him for literally every single material need. Again, this is a practical illustration that Jesus is making. There are just aspects of the kingdom and of God's heart that you will experience on another level. that we often don't get to experience when we are taking care of ourselves. There's just such a vast ocean of kingdom living to experience and righteousness, joy, and peace, which we miss out on if our attachment is wrong. And then the last question is, who can you share with? Jesus says, yeah, sell your possessions and give to the needy. I had a small testimony on this. Is someone in our family the other day didn't get paid. So got a normal job, somehow the company didn't pay them. But he's got a wife and two kids. And I was already feeling the pressure, and I was like, sure, I'd love to help, but I don't know if I can. And then the next day, I was reading this again, and I felt God prompt me to give him. We'd recently sold like two couches, two little chairs, and there was a bit of money that we'd got there. And I added my storehouse. I was like, yes, that's solid. I'm keeping that. And I felt him say, just give it to this member of your family. And it was amazing. It was like, it was such a moment of inspiration by the Spirit, the joy that I felt in doing that. Like, it translated so nicely for me. Sell your possessions, okay, sell those couches, get the money, and give to the needy. Now, my brother-in-law is not on the streets, okay, but he was needy in that moment. And they're my family, and so I could do that. And I was just high on life in a way, again, experiencing those kingdom realities that when you are free to trust God and respond to Him, He just pours out so much life into your heart. There's so much lightness and joy that I could never have had if I had hundreds of thousands or millions in my storehouse. And then the funny thing that happened was the next day, SARS gave us back that exact same amount of money. It was money that I'd forgotten about. But now listen to this. This is very unhallelujah. Is what I did with that, when that came back, I was like, okay, now I'm not letting it go. Now it was my precious, you know, if you guys know what I'm talking about. But I held, it was like, and God is so gracious with us when we mess it up. Like, you've just seen this. I mean, it's so true of the disciples. God literally just does this, and then the next day they do this as if they'd never seen that. And I held on to that money like it was my provision. And I was stressing, you know. I was like, how long can I ride this emergency light in my car? You know, how long can we not buy electricity? And the money's right there. The money's there. And I felt God say to me, use it. I've given you that to use it. But I'm living like, no, I need that. And I need to tuck that away. And immediately, my dependence is on that thing again. It's just silly how we do these things. But I hope and I trust that God is showing us something of His heart and how we can live the life that is there for all of us. So I think that's it. I'm going to allow some time. I want us to just take some time, a couple of minutes. If any of those three questions registered in your heart and you want to spend time just transacting with the Lord in your chair, or if you'd like prayer, like someone to pray with you around any of those things, I want to give that opportunity to you now as well. I'm here to pray. Elders from this congregation and small group leaders are here. Yes, Nita would like to share a testimony.
I just wanted to share a quick testimony exactly on what you were talking about now. So I've also, this is so resonating with me because God's really testing our hearts as a family. How tightly are we holding to our finances? And so God's been unctioning me to give away, and He told me an exact amount for somebody that was really needy in KZN. So I ended up, making that money loose in our investment, whatever, and giving that amount to this person without her knowing, whatever. And I was like, okay, giving it away, feeling reluctant because now it's our savings. We can't dig into our savings, having that whole wrong attachment with money still. And that month, this month, God provided like somebody blessed us with a certain amount of money. We had a family outing day where we didn't have the finances to actually just go spend the money on the kids and whatever. And then God blessed us with a certain amount to just bless our kiddies with. Then I literally told the Lord this week in the holiday, I want to make soup because it's nice and cold. I love soup. And then my mother-in-law got a box full of soup vegetables from the farm, his dad's a vet. And then she said, I don't know what to do with this. Please just take it. I'm like, okay. So very specifically, the Lord provided again and again. And the weird thing was, I usually, you know, that last week of the month, you like open the cupboard, okay, pasta and all the dry ingredients. And this month, I didn't run out of money. I had the same amount, and I just had enough to the end of the month. I don't know how it happened. So I want to challenge us. I'm going to challenge myself as well to go and test God. This is like God's currency. God's way of working, that's kingdom, to live loosely, to go and ask him, God, where do you want me to bless someone? Where do you want me to invest? And then do that. And it's just amazing. It is absolutely amazing to start living that way.
Yeah. Amen, amen. Amen indeed. We can all just close our eyes and pray, and I'm going to pray for us just in closing. Father, we thank you for your word and that you are so gracious and good to us. You are so generous. You have everything. You are able to provide everything richly for us to enjoy, Father. We just reject the lie that says that, you know, you are mean or that somehow, you just like to push us to the limit and see how much we can take. But Father, we just thank you that you are able to make all things abound to us. And Father, I pray this evening that if we have an attachment to our storehouse that is improper, Father, if we have anxiety about not enough money, or if we have perhaps arrogance or confidence in a lot of money, Father, that you would break that attachment in our hearts this evening. I pray that you would do that, Lord. May we not be anxious about things that are not our business in a way, Lord. Your provision of our needs is your business, and we trust you for that this evening. And so I pray for each heart. And Father, I pray that we may walk by faith more and more. Lord, I thank you for a spirit of faith and encouragement in all of our hearts to trust you with everything, Father. To take that childlikeness and approach you and to trust you with everything, that we may walk by faith more and more, casting off all anxiety that the world indoctrinates into us, that our financial planners indoctrinate into us, that the infomercials, that the insurance companies, that the whoever indoctrinate us with, Father. We cast those anxieties off and say that you are the ruler of all the heavens and you are faithful to take care of us, Lord. You actually go so far as to say, I will take care of you if you had no storehouse. The ravens don't have a storehouse. They eat every day. Your value is exponentially more in my eyes than the ravens. I will take care of you. And then, Father, lastly, I pray that you would illuminate in our hearts who we can be kind to, who we can be generous to, whose needs we can place above our own, who we can share with, Father. I pray that in this week that you would make that real for each of us, who we can share with, that our hearts may burst with kingdom life, and kingdom joy, kingdom peace, Father, as we trust you and we attach to your care and detach from all these other false confidences and false provisions. Father, I thank you for this congregation and your love for each one. We praise you, we honor you, we bless you. We thank you for your spirit in us, your spirit to counsel us. You are in us. You never leave us nor forsake us. And we can be content with all the things that we have and we can share. We praise you and honor you in Jesus' name. Amen.